You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
To the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday, the 23rd of February, 2023, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, I do apologise. Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson is unable to be here today, but he will be back next week. So we won't be covering a geopolitics topic today. We'll be continuing on with the subject that we were talking about yesterday. Yesterday we learned that every constituency in the country, bar one, thought that immigration was too high and it should be brought down. And the constituency that thought that immigration was just fine at the moment was Bristol. And I pointed out that these people that believe that immigration needs to come down, which is, as I say, it's the majority of people in the country, they don't have any representation in the mainstream political parties. There is just one political organisation which says we need to get immigration down and ensure that the Indigenous British remain a supermajority in the country, and that is Patriotic Alternative. And the Electoral Commission keep refusing to grant Patriotic Alternative the status of being a political party. And today we hear that Rishi Sunak has heard about all of these complaints about immigration, and he's come up with a wizard wheeze of giving all the asylum seekers amnesty. So they will then be British citizens and they will no longer be asylum seekers. So that's his way of getting the immigration numbers down by apparently around about 12,000. Rishi Sunak faces renewed pressure on immigration after a new fast-track scheme for 12,000 asylum seekers, including Channel migrants, was dubbed an amnesty in all but name. Now, Wesley Russell was interviewed yesterday on Patriotic Weekly Review by Mark Collette about the incident where he was able to put questions to his local Conservative MP, and in those questions he pointed out that the general public want to see these people treated as criminals because they have broken the law by breaking into Britain illegally, and the British public wants to see these people put in a prison and then sent back to where they have come from. And he pointed out that all we have to do is just withdraw from these treaties, which we can do, which apparently are stopping us from doing this. But we refuse to do that. And that is the general public's view on this, because he got lots of riotous cheers of applause for pointing these things out. And instead of sending these people back, Rishi Sunak is going to give them amnesty. In a bid to begin clearing the massive asylum backlog, the Home Office will launch a streamlined system which will see migrants granted refugee status on the basis of a 10-page questionnaire. So he's effectively doing the complete opposite of what the public want. He's making it easier for people to get into Britain once they're here. We know that they all claim asylum. I think about 90% of the asylum claims get granted. If they don't get granted asylum, they can still stay here in the country, and they still get the money sent to them, and then they can appeal against that with the help of legal aid, which of course uses up all the money that's in the legal aid pot, and means that British citizens have a reduced chance of actually getting that legal aid when they need it, when they need to take the government to court over things. The plan was immediately attacked by critics as the Prime Minister faced demands from his own backbenches to urgently tackle the Channel crisis. And Rishi Sunak thinks that's what he's doing. He's tackling the Channel crisis by speeding up the asylum claims. And what happens when that asylum claim is speeded up? Well, basically, they get granted British citizenship. Once they get granted British citizenship, they are entitled under the Human Rights Act, human rights law, to a right to a family. So they can then invite all their family over here. Once they're a British citizen, they're also entitled to housing benefit, council tax benefit, job seekers allowance, all the benefits they are entitled to. And even before they get given this British citizenship, they're still having all their housing paid for. They go from these hotels into social housing. They either get given a council house or they get given a private house where the rent is then paid by the Home Office to the landlord. And the people don't want this. The people want these people that are broken in. They want them to be sent back to the country that they came from or sent to a safe third-party country. And the British government said, well, we found a safe third-party country. We've found Rwanda. And, of course, all the left-wing lawyers and the left-wing organisations have prevented that from happening. But even that was only a plan to send back, I think, 250 people maximum. It's a ridiculous idea. All they have to do is do what Australia did and say, well, if you break into the country, you're not coming in. If you do break into the country, we will put you in a safe third party country where there won't be any war, and you can wait there until the situation is safer in your home country. And Australia did that, and they put people that tried to break into Australia, they put them in a camp on Papua New Guinea. And we could do the same here in Britain. We could just put them in a camp somewhere in North Africa, make an agreement with an African country to pay the African country some money so they make something on this deal. And the people that are claiming they need somewhere safe from war, they would have somewhere that's safe from war. That's the sensible way to do this. The unsensible way to do this, the ridiculous way to do this, is to just speed things up and make it easier for people to be granted British citizenship. That's what's going on here. They're making it much easier. All these people have to do now is just answer a few questions. They're not even going to have a face-to-face interview, and then they will be granted it. More than 95% of the 12,000 claims are expected to be granted based on current rates, allowing them to settle permanently in Britain and then sponsor their relatives to join them here. And this, they say here, based on current rates, that's because it's, as I say, it's 95% of people that put in asylum claims in Britain, they get given their asylum, which is far higher than in France, far higher than in Sweden. And once they get given that, as it says here, they can then invite their family over here. So for those 12,000 claims that are expected to be granted, you can say pretty much 12,000, 95% of them are expected to be granted. You can say each of them, perhaps they have 10 people in their family. So it's actually 120,000 people, not just 12,000. And what they will do then is they'll say, look at this. Look, we've managed to get the numbers down by 12,000. We should introduce this to other parts of the asylum system. We should introduce this everywhere and just do it all by a tick box exercise. And that then we'll get the numbers down. So by that sleight of hand, you'll actually have even more people coming into the country. And the British government will be claiming that we don't have quite so many, don't have so many asylum seekers because now they're British citizens. Officials said the vast majority of cases will go ahead without even an asylum interview, which is a detailed one-to-one session with a Home Office caseworker, which is designed to show up discrepancies in an applicant's claim. So they're not even going to have a face-to-face interview, something that all people that are feeling ill or sick or got a disease or they're disabled, all of them have to have a face-to-face interview to check that they're not lying. I guess they just trust all these people that have broken into the country and thrown their documents away. They must trust them far more than they trust the disabled people in Britain who have to have a face-to-face interview. This new fast-track scheme will be applied to Libyans, Syrians, Afghans, Eritreans and Yemenis who arrived in Britain before June 28th last year, including those who arrived by small boat across the channel. I would say probably that's the majority of them that came across by small boat via the channel. And let's just look at this. I mean, Libyans, they're going to allow Libyans to come into the country. Wouldn't most Libyans have a bit of a grudge against the British? I mean, Libya was one of the most advanced, well-developed countries in Africa. It had an excellent welfare system. It used to pay for people to study in Europe. If women wanted to study in Europe at universities, it paid for them to have a chaperone. When they got married, they got something like the equivalent of $50,000. Everybody was housed. Everybody had learned how to read and write. Whatever you think of Colonel Gaddafi, he certainly did his best for the Libyan people. And what did Britain do? Well, we went over there, we imposed a no-fly zone, we bombed the hell out of it. And now Libya is run by opposing warlords. They have slave markets, and hordes of people claiming to be asylum seekers are breaking into Europe across that little narrow strip there between Africa and Spain. And of course, Gaddafi was preventing that. So all these Libyans have had their country completely ruined. And part of the reason why their country was ruined was because of Tony Blair. So we're effectively saying to people that are bound to have a grudge against Britain, why don't you come and live in Britain? We won't even bother to give you a face-to-face interview. We'll just allow you to tick all these boxes on a form, and then we'll allow you in. And it's pretty much similar for Syria, isn't it? What happened in Syria? Syria was another well-developed country. Syria had a lot of savings. It didn't have a debt with the international banking system. It was actually in credit. And we sponsored the so-called rebels in Syria, who then turned out to be ISIS and other Islamic jihadis. We sponsored these rebels to create civil war in Syria and to destroy parts of Syria. So Syria has been a war zone for the last 10 years. And Britain has been sponsoring that. And once again, we say to the people there who are bound to have a grudge against the British, we'll fast track you to come into Britain and become a citizen. I mean, you can say the same about Afghanistan. People fleeing Afghanistan, why would they be fleeing Afghanistan? Afghanistan is now back in the hands of the Afghans. It's back in the hands of the Taliban, who have never carried out a terrorist attack on any country. People may say, oh, they've carried out terrorist attacks in Afghanistan. How can they do that when they are the legitimate ruling authority of Afghanistan? If anything, Afghans should be going back to their country now that it is no longer a war zone. It was a war zone. It was the British and the Americans fighting against the Taliban, and now there is no more fighting. Afghanistan is not a war zone. But again, people that are coming from Afghanistan to Britain, they're going to have a grudge against the British because it was the British that turned their country into a war zone. Now, I'm not sure about Eritrea and in Yemen. It's the Saudis that are fighting in Yemen, but again, they are backed by the Americans, probably backed by the British. And I dare say they're going to have a grudge against the British as well. I mean, if we're going to allow people to come into the country claiming asylum, you would think that a good idea would be to not allow people to come into the country from countries that we have bombed, countries that are going to have a grudge against us. And just as an example of what can happen when you allow people in with a grudge against the country, all you have to look at is the Manchester bombing that took place at the Ariana Grande concert. That was carried out by a Libyan who had been brought into the country as a refugee from Libya. I think it was his parents that were brought in as a refugee. And because of what Britain did in Libya, he decided he was going to blow up the Manchester Arena. So it's not like we don't have examples of people having a grudge against the British people coming in as refugees. Officials were unable to say how many Channel migrants are in the pool because they lose track of it. They're not even looking at this as in who's coming to the country legally and who is coming to the country illegally. They're just putting them all together, even though a large number of these people are criminals because they broke into the country, they threw their documents away. And if they've thrown their documents away, I mean, they can just say that they're any one of these countries here, can't they? And then they know all they're going to have to do is tick some boxes and they'll get citizenship. It is believed this to be the first scheme of its kind in the UK. And remember, a scheme is an underhand plan, although a similar backlog clearing exercise designed to fast-track historic asylum cases was set up by the former Labour government in 2006 and ran until 2011. So every so often they do this sort of thing. And this, again, it gives people hope when they break into the country that eventually they are going to be given amnesty. Applicants will still undergo security and crime checks under the new program, officials said. But if they've thrown their documents away, how can you be certain that the person they are telling you they are is actually who they are? And what about countries like Syria or Libya, who don't actually have the systems to actually check people, whether they're criminals or what their security is? And obviously, if we're going to say that they're fleeing that country because it's an oppressive regime, we can't rely on the information that's coming from that so-called oppressive regime. What they mean here is they just mean checking to see that this person doesn't fit a description of somebody who has already carried out a crime in Europe. And they don't even get that right, do they? Because we recently had one of these alleged refugees turned out to have carried out murders in Serbia before he went on to carry out another murder in Britain. However, there have been a number of cases of asylum seekers from the five countries covered by the scheme who have committed serious crimes in the UK. What a surprise. People that throw their documents away and we don't know who they are and they break into the country, they're literally committing a crime to get into the country, then go on to carry out more crimes. Some of these crimes include Afghan asylum seeker Loangin Abdul Rahimzai, who stabbed aspiring Royal Marine Tom Roberts to death in a row over an e-scooter in Bournemouth last year. And this was one that was particularly popularised by the mainstream media. I mean, they really couldn't help but publicise this. They do try to cover up these things. They try to cover them up in the interests of community cohesion and not giving succor to the far right. I mean, all these excuses they come out with as to why they sort of cover these things up. I mean, we're just hearing at the moment about three Afghans are accused of holding down a schoolgirl, and one Afghan is accused of raping the schoolgirl. And the Afghans are still at the school, apparently, and the police haven't charged them. And all the schoolgirls at the moment are protesting. They're protesting outside the police station. They're protesting outside of the school. They're saying that this just keeps going on and nothing's being done about it. And now somebody's been raped. And it's the first we've actually heard of this going on in the school. And that's what I mean by the newspapers covering this up. And the mainstream media is also covering up the fact that there's all these protests that are going on at this school at this moment. Because of this Afghan asylum seeker that allegedly raped one of the schoolgirls there. And then you also have to question, is he even a schoolboy? Is he even of schoolboy's age? Because you have so many of them claiming to be underage children, and it turns out that they're actually in their 20s or their 30s. I think about 80% of the ones that were claiming to be school children turned out to be over 18 when a Swedish dentist blew the whistle on the dental records of the alleged child migrants that he was looking at, that were his patients. And he was rewarded for that by being struck off for going against the illegal asylum seekers' human rights. Getting back to this Abdul Rahimzai, he posed as a 14-year-old boy to gain entry into the UK in 2019, but in reality, he was a 19-year-old man wanted by Serbian police for gunning down two people with a Kalashnikov assault rifle. So when we're told here that these applicants will still be undergoing security and crime checks, those security and crime checks didn't pick this up, did they? And they're certainly not going to be looking at security and crime checks from Eritrea, Afghanistan, Syria, of course, because those countries, we say, well, they're oppressive regimes, so you can't rely on the information that you get from them. So they're saying we are going to rely on the information we get from Europe, whether these people have already carried out crimes in Europe, and they can't even get that right, can they? I mean, this shows that they can't even get that right. You've got this guy carried out two murders in Serbia, and yet he was still not able to get into Britain. Lie, saying that he was an unaccompanied child migrant, when in actual fact he was almost in his 20s. And then he was able to murder somebody just over a row over an e-scooter. Last month, Abdul Rahimzai was jailed for life with a minimum term of 29 years for Mr. Roberts' murder. So we're going to have to look after him for another 29 years now, because we let him into the country instead of saying, if you try to break into the country, we are just going to put you on the next boat back to Rwanda and you can stay in a camp in Rwanda where you'll be safe from war. If we were to do that, then the people would soon stop trying to break into the country. In December, Mr. Sunak committed to clearing 92,000 asylum backlog cases from an overall pile of just under 149,000 by the end of this year. So now we can see how he's going to do that. He's not going to do the sort of checks that need to be done. They're not even going to be given a face-to-face interview. They're just going to have to tick boxes on a form. Tomorrow's announcement is the first stage of what is expected to be a widespread streamlining of the asylum system to work through the remaining 80,000 cases in the Prime Minister's pledge. Every single one of them, I would say, is a fake asylum claim, because there are no countries surrounding Britain that are at war, are they? All of these people have come through countless number of countries in Europe before then making their claim in Britain. So they cannot say that we are fleeing war and that's the reason why we're here, because they've gone on a traveling all the way across Europe. They've gone on this merry jaunt, going from country to country, working out which is the best one that they want to put their claim in for. That's what's going on here. So, I mean, all of them are fake asylum seekers, and that's the general public's understanding of this. But the government, instead of doing something that the people want them to do, they're doing the opposite of it. They're just going to make it easier for them to get citizenship. That's what it is here. This streamlining of the asylum system is just making it easier for them to be given citizenship. One senior source said, this is an asylum amnesty in all but name. One major issue here is that it will encourage people from these nationalities who are not yet in the UK to come here and attempt to get asylum. So it's another magnet as well. And I would suggest that it's also a way that people that perhaps come from other countries, who throw their documents away, and then they can say, well, we come from Syria, we come from Afghanistan, we come from Libya. And then they'll be given a new identity in Britain. The senior source also said it will push up immigration figures, because once these 12,000 have been granted refugee status, they will be able to bring relatives here through the family reunion scheme. So as I say, I mean, you could get up to 10 people for each one of these that get granted this status. Another well-placed source suggested that dropping interviews with asylum seekers indicated the Home Office was prepared to take a bit of a risk in order to get the backlog down. So, of course, then you've got this security risk here. It's more important that they have face-to-face interviews with disabled people rather than face-to-face interviews with people that have broken into the country from who knows where in the rest of the world. Officials denied the scheme amounted to an amnesty because it will not give blanket refugee status by nationality. They insisted each case will be considered on its own merits. So because they still have to fill out this form, tick the boxes, they're not just being given an amnesty because they still have to tick these boxes. I mean, it looks like an amnesty to me. 95% of them are going to be given this status. The Home Office source added, the Prime Minister and the Home Secretary are clear that we need to clear the backlog in order to be able to detain people and swiftly remove them when we have the new legislation. I mean, look at that. It's just incredible, isn't it? The cheek they have to say something like that. We need to give everybody an amnesty. And then once we've done that, then we'll be swiftly detaining them and removing them. But we just have to give all these ones that are here amnesty first. It's just ridiculous, isn't it? It's just kicking the ball down the road, isn't it? Expecting the British public to just believe that somewhere at some unspecified point in the future they are finally going to do what the British public want them to do. Most of the 12,000 asylum seekers are believed to be living in dispersed accommodation, such as self-catering properties, but the Home Office was unable to rule out whether some are in taxpayer-funded hotels. Regardless of whether they're in self-catering properties or hotels, it's still going to be taxpayer-funded. Even when they get put in these houses that they get given after they've been in the hotel for a certain amount of time, it is still the Home Office that end up paying for them. The questionnaire, which will be sent to eligible asylum seekers, is 10 pages long and contains about 40 questions. So that's all they've got to do is tick the boxes to 40 questions, and then they can stay in the country. It asks them to set out why they believe themselves to be at risk in their home country. And of course, in these countries, a lot of these countries, they have severe punishments for homosexuality. So pretty much all they have to do is say, well, I'm a homosexual. And then they won't have to go back to their country, will they? Because homosexuality will be illegal in their country. There are all sorts of easy ways for these people to manage to pull the wool over the eyes of the authorities. And it's not even that they're pulling the wool over their eyes. I mean, they must know that this is just open to abuse. Surely the government can see that this is just open to abuse. I mean, they've already said that they're accepting a certain amount of risk just so that they can speed their way through this and say, no, we don't have any asylum seekers in the country anymore, because we turned them all into British citizens, or we gave them all refugee status. Applicants will have 20 working days to complete the form and return it to the Home Office. And some applicants eligible for the fast track scheme will already have been in the backlog for years. It is unclear what steps the Home Office will take to check the 12,000 asylum seekers have been truthful about their nationality. Well, that's the thing, isn't it? If they throw their documents away, they can say anything. They can throw the documents away and just look at which countries the British government are going to be lenient on and then claim that they come from there. Tonight, a leaked letter from the Home Office's Director of Asylum Protection and Enforcement, Dan Hobbs, revealed that the new system could be rolled out more widely. Of course, they're going to say this is a great success. It's got the numbers down of the asylum seekers. It's got them down by 12,000. It's worked really well. Now we need to start doing this with more asylum seekers claiming to be coming from other countries. And then they'll eventually say, look, we've got no more asylum seekers. We've managed to get rid of all the asylum seekers. And of course, all they've done is just given them a new status. He said that it could be extended to asylum claims lodged since June 28th last year in due course. So this is how they're going to say that they've got rid of all the ones that are in the hotels. They'll still be in the hotels, but they will no longer be classed as asylum seekers. They will be classed as refugees or British citizens. In addition, Mr. Hobbs also disclosed that asylum interviews may be dropped for other nationalities of asylum seeker where appropriate. So they're going to not just going to do it for these other countries. They're eventually going to end up doing this for all countries, I think. The new asylum questionnaire could in future be sent out more widely to gather additional information from other claimants awaiting an asylum decision in due course, he went on. But they've got no way of actually checking whether it's the truth, have they? The letter addressed to Home Office stakeholders also confirmed that failure to return the questionnaire could result in an individual's asylum claim being withdrawn. Again, but that really doesn't matter, does it? Because they'll still be able to claim legal aid and challenge this. And interestingly, they use this term stakeholders. This comes from the Great Reset, which is essentially saying that the government is just another stakeholder in creating legislation. Other stakeholders that have as equal a weight as the government will be corporations and NGOs and minority groups. It's just weakening the power of the government, and it looks like the British government is all on board with this because they're already using this term stakeholders. Alp Mehmet, the chairman of Migration Watch UK, which is a pretty good organisation actually, he seems to do quite well at highlighting these problems, which campaigns for tougher border controls, said the plan was dangerous folly and suggested that it could encourage more asylum seekers to claim they are from the five eligible countries. You don't say. Of course they're going to start doing that. I mean, when they said that they were going to allow Syrian refugees into the country, everybody started saying that they were from Syria when they got picked up on these boats by the RNLI. He said this is an amnesty in all but name. The message to the criminal gangs is if you get your clients to destroy their ID and claim to be from a high success country, they will be tick-boxed into the UK. So it's not just me that's saying this. It's also Migration Watch, which is saying this. All they're going to have to do is just tick some boxes on a bit of paper, and they'll be allowed in. And the questions themselves are also going to be written in English. And of course, today they've been saying, well, these poor asylum seekers, they might not know how to speak English. Well, what are they doing coming to a country to claim refugee status that speaks a different language to them when the countries surrounding the country that they supposedly came from already speaks their language? I mean, just the fact that some of them don't speak English shows that they're not coming here for asylum. They're coming here because they think that they're going to have some improvement to their life by coming here, like an economic migrant, or they may be coming here because they have medical problems and they want to get free treatment on the NHS. I think they've even decided now that if any of these people can't get the same treatment back in the country that they come from, then it's a human right for them to stay in Britain and be treated for free on the NHS. It's ludicrous what we're doing here. Alf Mehmet continued, the triple killer of Tom Roberts came from such a country and had been denied asylum in Norway before our already lax system allowed him to con his way in. So even from these countries that we're saying we're going to fast track people from, they still have troublemakers there. And I would suggest that a lot of the troublemakers in these countries, they're not welcome in their own countries because the local people there know that they're a criminal type. So they're not welcome there. And obviously what's going to be easier for them, easier pickings, easier victims that they can pick on in another country. So they leave the country that they're in and they come to Europe. And I got told that. I went to, I guess you not really a third world country, but a Muslim country. And I got quite friendly with the people there. And I said, what's your community like in Britain? Would it be worth making friends with them? And they said, don't have anything to do with them. Don't have anything to do with them. They're all the worst kind of people that we don't want in our own country. And that comes straight from the horse's mouth, as it were. The people that are coming from these countries claiming asylum, they're the sort of people that are not wanted by their communities within their own countries. They're not the best representations that there are of, say, Syrians or Afghans. I mean, of course, really, because they would stay in Syria and defend the country against ISIS, wouldn't they, if they were decent people? They wouldn't be leaving the women and children back in a country that was dangerous, would they? Alf Mehmet continued, the government's plan is dangerous folly. The Home Secretary should think again. Enver Solomon, head of the Refugee Council, welcomed the Home Office's announcement as a welcome first step. Of course, he wants to see more. But he added, after living in worry and uncertainty for months and even years without hearing anything about their claims, it cannot then be fair or reasonable to expect people to complete a lengthy form only in English in a matter of weeks, especially for those who don't have access to legal advice and don't speak English. Well, again, if they don't speak English, why are they claiming asylum in a country that speaks English? Why are they not claiming asylum in a country that speaks their language, that they would understand, that had a similar culture to them? The answer to that is, of course, that they're not actually just trying to get somewhere where they'll be safe from war. They're trying to get somewhere that has more benefits for them than the country that they come from. Enver Solomon continued, as it stands, the Prime Minister will fail to meet his commitment to clear the backlog by the end of this year. And if he is serious about it, there must be a more ambitious, workable, person-centred approach that sees the face behind the case. Rather strange there. He's saying there that there should be these face-to-face interviews. But obviously the government think that if we have these face-to-face interviews, it's going to take more time to go through this, and they just want to speed things up. They just want to whiz everybody through it and give them all refugee status or British citizenship so they can say, we no longer have this large number of asylum seekers here. They can say that to the people on the right. They can say, look, we've got these numbers down. And then to the people on the left, they can say, look, we've made the asylum system a little bit better for these asylum seekers. It's a little bit easier for them to claim asylum. So the government are looking at it, well, this is going to appease both camps, isn't it? And effectively, what it's going to do, it's just going to create more problems for Britain. It's just going to cost more money for Britain, and it's just going to cause more division within Britain, because that's all diversity is. It's just division, division of an originally homogenous, ethnically homogenous community, dividing it by importing people from other ethnicities and then mixing it all up together within one territory. That's all diversity is. So this is not going to solve the problems. And also, it's just going to create even more of a magnet for people, isn't it? Because they're going to think, well, all of these other people got given an amnesty. So if I go there and I wait around for long enough, I'll get given an amnesty as well. And that's effectively what Alf Mehmet is saying, that this is just going to encourage more people to come into Britain. And it's also going to encourage more people to throw their documents away and then claim to be coming from one of these fast-tracked countries. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Grandpa Dan. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.